This is the first test of my robotics project.
Stop.
The seventh test.
This is Tadashi, my older brother.
33rd test.
Wait, stop.
This is the 84th test.
Hello, I am Baymax.
You are? Oh, this is amazing.
I wanted to help a lot of people. People keep saying Tadashi's not really gone. As long as we remember him.
Hello, I am Baymax. Tadashi programmed me to heal the sick and injured. You will be all right. There. I would like to help. Scan complete. You are experiencing mood swings. Diagnosis? Puberty.
Whoa, what?
It's like spooning a warm marshmallow.
Reports are flooding in about a major catastrophe.
We're under attack from a supervillain, people!
Come on, go!
I am not fast.
Yeah, no kidding!
So a man in a kabuki mask attacked you in balloon mask.
Only Disney could take something like a Marvel comic that's obscure for a reason because it probably sucked. No, it's not probably. That comic book did suck. And make it entertaining. People, we talking about Big Hero 6. As everybody knows, I love animation. I love animated films. I mainly, especially love the superhero ones, and mainly The Incredibles. Is this on par with The Incredibles? No, not really. But goddamn it, it's a very good second though. And I don't mind it being a second because damn, this movie was a lot of entertainment. A lot of fun. I smiled from beginning to end. I could not help stop myself from excitement I had of this film. It is a superhero origin story. Obviously, everybody knows this is from a Marvel comic published in in about 1998, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 98 or 99, one of those. And it started off with Sunfire, if I'm not mistaken, who you don't see in here, obviously, because Sunfire was originally an X-Men character. He's a one-time member. If I'm not mistaken, it had past ties with Mystique. So, yeah, obviously they're not going to do that because it's Disney and Fox's owning that X-Men shit going on right there. But obviously Silver Samurai is also a character too. Mainly this was in publication almost just to team up with the X-Men. So obviously they can't do that. So Disney's took their own route with it and turned it into something pretty animated spectacle, if you will. Where do I start this story off to? Okay, so let's pick it up with a synopsis then. So we got we open up with Hiro and Tadashi, and Tadashi's played by voiced by Daniel Henney, and Hiro's voiced by Ryan Potter. We got two brothers here. We see Hiro. He's like, you know, obviously he's in the bot fighting. He's setting up fights. I mean, pretty much he's kind of like Jason Todd in the Batman universe before Batman found him. He's kind of a fuck up. You know, he's got all these brains and skills and all that, but he's just a fuck up, and he chooses to be that way. I guess because in this story they showed that his family died, which if I'm not mistaken, in the books, I don't think his family died at all. So someone can correct me on that one. I know this movie took some liberties with that book and changed it around a lot. But Hiro, you know, he's conning his way through robot fightings, and you can see it here because clearly he's acting all weak and fragile and loses the first fight, but then throws in a bigger stack of money and shows that doofus up with this badass robot that he has. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, damn, that was pretty sweet techniques. Then we get introduced to Tadashi, and he's pretty much like, say, hey bro, you know, and one thing you like about the film, first off, they self-acknowledge that, you know, most of these guys are nerds here. So his brother, Tadashi, is trying to treat him about, you know, college or pretty much the school that he goes to, which they pretty much invent stuff. And, you know, he drops him off there, and Hiro sees all the characters they got there. We got Jamie Chung, who plays Go-Go. Damon Wayans Jr. voices Wasabi. Genesis Rodriguez, who does Honey Lemon, which I didn't even know that was Genesis Rodriguez, because Genesis Rodriguez is almost damn near the next Michelle Rodriguez. She's just always looking evil and ready to beat somebody's ass. And she looks hot, don't get me wrong. But in this one, she was all live and bubbly. I mean, she was like one of the... She's a cool character in the comic books, but in here, she's just as cool, but she's more uplifting and bright-spirited and stuff. I kind of like that, dig that about her. And you got T.J. Miller voicing Fred. If you don't remember who T.J. Miller is, if I'm not mistaken, he was that fucking California surfer dude in Transformers 4. Which, obviously, they killed his ass right away. And he was the Hutt from... was it Hutt? Whatever the fuck that new Cloverfield. I think it was Hutt. Whatever, it's not important. He meets him and he sees all these cool gadgets here, except for, obviously, T.J. Miller. He's just some fucking... He's playing a surfer dude once again in here. They're pretty much just showing him. He's just like, hey, I like science. You know, I don't really... I'm not smart enough to hang out with these guys or do what they do. But, you know, I'll stick around and hope, because he has dreams of becoming... He has dreams of science changing him into a dragon, which in the books... If I'm not mistaken, Fred's character was, he could turn into like a creature that was almost the shape of Godzilla or something like that. So in here, they just pretty much give him like a mech suit that's almost in the form of a lizard. And, you know, obviously Heroes are fascinated with this, so he's like, I want to go to that school. He creates this technology, almost like nanobots in a way. Man, I was getting some mad Iron Man vibes off of this film. I forgot what they were called, but they're like pretty damn near like nanobots, but you can control with your mind, and they form in the shape of anything you want that you can think of, like the Green Lantern ring, of course. You know, then a fire breaks out, and we meet Robert Callaghan, who's voiced by James Cromwell, and Alan Tudyk, which I didn't even know that was Alan Tudyk, who plays Alistar in here. Alistar's like, hey, look, I'll buy you tech from you. Give me some money. I'll give you some money. You'll make more money than any child at 14 has ever made. James Cromwell, Robert Callaghan character, he's just like, no, we know how you operate. And reasons, you thinking like, oh, he hates this guy because, you know, obviously he abuses science or something like that. So this guy's, they pretty much set him up to be the bad guy here. You know, obviously there, later in the film, there's a twist to that. Then a fire breaks out. Then next thing you know it, Tadashi runs in there to try to save Robert Callaghan, his professor. Didn't turn out, worked out that way. So, you know, a couple of days pass by. Next thing you know it, Hero, he notices his technology. He has like one piece of it left, and it's moving around. Because what it does is it likes to find each other to connect to create more objects. And it later finds itself. And obviously we get introduced to Baymax, who's voiced by Scott Adits, who's pretty much was created by Tadashi as a damn near a nurse. He's a doctor, robotic doctor, so no one else, you know, so humans wouldn't have to pretty much do it anymore. And then we find out that there's this villain using Hero's technology to, from Hero's point of view, he's just terrorizing shit. But, you know, Hero notices, like, wait a minute, he started that fire, stole my technology, so now we need to stop him because obviously he's the one that killed my brother. Well, it's almost set up in this point because, you know, there's a scene, there's little bits of scenes here, you know, where the crew, Jamie, Go-Go, Wasabi, Honey Lemon, Fred, they all get together and, you know, they run into Hero, and then he's like, look, I'm gonna hook you guys up with some superpowers. You're gonna be badass. Go-Go, she's got like, she had an invention where she, you know, had a bike that pretty much runs on magnets or whatever. Well, he pretty much turns her into a speed bike, in which her power was in the books. She's a kind of a speed ball of light, if you will. Wasabi, in the books, he's supposed to be a chef, and here they just made him the black guy that just, I guess he created some kind of electromagnetic cutter or something like that. So they gave him blades, hands. Honey Lemon, she has this power where she can pretty much concoct any kind of gel ball, if you will. I guess it could either freeze, turn to a balloon, or anything like that. So they give her a purse that can just, where she can just type in any kind of. It was really creative, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, probably useless, but it was creative as fuck. And then you got Fred. Obviously, they just turned him into a jumping dragon, if you will. And then this is when the twist gets in, that they find out that, oh, it was Robert Galligan. He's the guy behind the mad control of my technology. And we find out that the reason why he's doing this is because Alistair Cray, voiced by Alan Tudyk, he tried to create an invention where you can go through, I guess, some fly type shit, whatever. You know, one, you go through one portal, come out the other and shit. He sent his daughter in there. He sent Robert Callaghan's daughter in there, and she never made it out, and he blames him. Now he's out looking for revenge. Standard MO here, which I appreciated they given to the villain. So I guess that's a synopsis. One thing, and then Hero and them has to stop him, obviously. One thing I love about the film, man, is the animation here looked beautiful. I mean, it was absolutely mind-blowing. Where I love the designs and the storyboard arts and stuff like that. Everything from the cinematography views to the stills, everything that I saw in here, it was just the way it moved. It's one of the most liveliest animated films I've seen in a while, if anything. I know a lot of people could say that about some DreamWorks films, but you know, all DreamWorks films kind of look alike, especially after like watching that last How to Train Your Dragon 2. The voice acting was good. I actually was interested with that. One thing the movie does have, it has a lot of heart. I was shocked by that because, I don't know, I wasn't, I guess, expecting that, but mainly the heart where it mainly comes from is between Baymax and Hero, which their chemistry together worked really well. I mean, there was a scene in here when he finds out that it was his professor that everyone respected, too. When they found out that he was the one that murdered his brother, he pretty much took out Baymax's, I guess, niceness chip, if you will, which helped him help people, and told him to destroy him. And that was a really dark scene there. I'm not going to lie. That was actually a pinpointed scene where I was just like, because his friends are trying to calm him down, he's just like, get out of my way. I was just like, so is he the villain or not? Because Robert Callaghan was running like a little bitch right now. I appreciate that they gave the villain a little motive there. I mean, you don't really sympathize with the villain that they have in here, which is Robert Callaghan character. Because I guess you don't really know. They don't really give too much time to him. Or actually, they barely give any time to him at all. Or his daughter. So I guess it's just a human reaction of how you feel about it. Because it's just like, oh, well, this guy had his daughter killed. So obviously, you know, you understand in that point. But it's nothing to the extreme reach. It's like it's a Magneto. Like, I completely understand where he's coming from. But, no, I like that. The action scenes in here were fucking phenomenal, man. There was, when they did, you know, obviously this is the origin story, you know, when they do the whole little suit up and learning the new powers and stuff, I really like Go-Go's character design of her. I was digging that chick and her powers and the way she was, like, sliding around, skating and stuff, which reminded me of, what's his name from, Incredible Samuel Jackson character, I think it was Frozone, whatever it was, it reminded me of her movement, it reminded me just of that, and then just seeing when, obviously, they Hero put Baymax in his armor, the flying scenes with him were fucking spectacular. I said it earlier in the review that I was getting nothing but an Iron Man vibes. That was definitely one of them. It was like seeing Iron Man suit up for the first time. And I remember that excitement I had when I saw him flying around. I was just like, holy shit, man. This kind of changes the Marvel films in general or anything. Yeah, Iron Man did, and then watching that, I was like, man, the technology we have today can do anything. And then watching it here, I was getting that same vibe. I was just loving every minute of it. Who else? My favorite character. I mean, the only problem they probably have here, which I don't even think was that big of a problem to me because they turned out to be still fun characters, is that you don't really get any character development for any of the side people here, which is like, you know, Damon Wayans, Genesis Rodriguez, Jamie Chung. The one you do get one is for TJ Miller. Everybody thinks he's this hipster dude, and you know, once they get spotted out, they find out that he's pretty much a millionaire. I mean, a billionaire at that. He's got this mansion, and if you look in his room, they show him like he's just this big comic book nerd that just loves science and stuff like that, but he isn't smart enough to put anything together. He's got fucking Marvel products in there, mainly a Thanos poster and shit. I was like, holy shit, dude. This is a tie-in to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Is Baymax gonna help the Avengers? But And even that one just, it was, even that one, I guess that really wasn't that much of a background, but it was fine for what it was. The one I really wanted to see, not so much background, is more of her action scenes, was Jamie Chung's Go-Go character. That character, to me, the design of it, I just loved it. I love the armor and the suits in here and everything they had in here. I was in love with the film. It does follow in familiar territories with the story. The story is not, like, fucking groundbreaking or anything like that, but... Yeah, you people know me. I mean, shit. I'm not really looking for anything to be groundbreaking. I see fucking almost 5-6 movies a fucking week, if that. So, as long as the movie is entertaining, then that's fine by me. I'm not looking for every goddamn film to be groundbreaking, different, and new. I mean, shit, nothing's really groundbreaking and new. And when you do get groundbreaking and new, such as Interstellar, or at least try to be, you become kind of stupid in a way. So, one thing that... damn, mainly love about this film, which I've always said about Disney films and Marvel films for that matter, is they're not trying to be Oscar-worthy films. They're not trying to be the best out there. They're being family fun entertainment, and I think this was definitely easily one family fun entertainment film. Man, I kind of actually want to see it again. And that's not to say like this film is like the greatest animation film I've ever seen or anything like that. No, not even hitting on those levels. But I had a fun time watching this. I think I haven't had this much fun in the theater since watching Guardians of the Galaxy. I think there's something about Disney to be said that they know really how to push their animation and their excitement level of giving people back in theaters, you know. And this movie does everything you expect from an animated adventure designed for families. It's funny, it's loud, it's friendly, cute, exciting, adventurous. And it has a little bit of heart in there for the adults or even the kids itself. I mean, we could say that it's a story obviously we haven't seen before, but kids that's going to go see it, they probably can't tell the difference of seeing a story. So what separates it from that is it keeps its fun and its adventure side going. The city itself, San Francisco, whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah, I think it was that, or mixing Tokyo with San Francisco, looked incredible. I mean, on the recap, we talk about Gotham showing landscape viewings of the fucking city over and over, and it usually is the same goddamn shot over, but this city, I could have marveled at for days, or even hours or days for that matter, just seeing Baymax fly around with it, to get to the ending now, well, which is, you know, obviously it's the typical superhero, all get together to stop the bad guy type of ending here, but saying that, I had a lot of fucking fun watching it, seeing the team get together, use their powers, the way they were doing it and stuff. It's almost, I think, man, the Avengers really set the bar for Marvel and Disney as far as doing these team movies. We saw it with the Avengers, I saw it in Captain America Winter Soldier, you know, obviously Captain America teaming up with Black Widow and Falcon and stuff, Iron Man teaming up with War Machine, we've seen it with Guardians of the Galaxy. They really set the bar, and Marvel in general, even with the latest X-Men film, First Class and Days of Future Past, Marvel's really set the bar on these team-up films, and I think that's where they shine the best. You know, Big Hero 6 combines Disney's charm with Marvel's love of action, awe and action to deliver a film that exhibits best of both sides. Personally, for me, I'm giving it a see it. I enjoyed the film a lot. Love to see it again. If anybody wants to see it again, please let me know. I'll go see it with you. And one thing this movie also did, too, is it had to throw in that Stan Lee cameo at the end of the fucking film, whatever. Now, they only did that after the credits, but still, Stan Lee's going to find a fucking way to crowbar his ass up into a goddamn Marvel film. He doesn't give a damn what it is. And it was kind of dumb, I'm not going to lie, but it kind of made fun of, you know, because Stan Lee nowadays, the characters he tried to make, let's be real, they're kind of stupid. So they kind of gave him just this stupid character, which fed him very well. Stan Lee, I love you, man, but sometimes you need to just sit your old ass down and stay the fuck away from these movies and just comic books and writing Excelsior your ass so old folks home.
We gotta catch him.
We can't go against that guy. We're nerds.
Trust me, I know about robotics. We can be way more.
Anybody else's suit riding up on him? Come on! Kick it down! Just punch it!
Why is Baymax wearing carbon fiber underpants?
This may undermine my non-threatening, huggable design.
He's glorious!
On top of the world! On top of the earth!
I wasn't terrified of heights. I probably love this. But I'm terrified of heights, so I don't love it.
wrong with you?
Low battery. Hairy baby.
It's just an expression.
What do you say, buddy?
Whee!
Okay, let's get you back